Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're continuing reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 7, Schedule Incarnations with Specific Functions. Today's text is 26. Bhumehe Suretara Parutha Vimarditayaha Klesha Vyayaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Keshaha Jataha Karishyati Chananupalaksha Margaha Karmani Chatma Mahimopani Bandhanani Bhumek Suretara Bharuta Vimarditaya Klesha Vyayaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Keshaha Jatak Karishyati Jananupalakshya Margaha Karmani Chatma Haimo Panibandhanani Bhumek Suretara Bharuta Vimarditaya Klesha Vyayaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Keshaha Jatak Karishyati Jananupalakshya Margaha Karmani Chatma Haimo Panibandhanani Bhumek Suretara Bharuta Vimarditaya Klesha Vyayaya Kalaya Sita Krishna Keshaha Jatak Karishyati Jananupalakshya Margaha Karmani Chatma Haimo Panibandhanani. Please chant. Vaishnavis, Okay, synonyms. Bhume. Of the entire world. Sura itara. Other than godly persons. Varutha. Soldiers. Vimaritayaha. Distressed by the burden. Klesha. Miseries. Vyaya. For the matter of diminishing. Kalaya. Along with his plenary expansion. Sita Krishna. Not only beautiful, but also black. Keshaha. With such hairs. Jataha. Having appeared. Karishyati. Would act. Jana. People in general. Anupalakshya. Rarely to be seen. Margaha. Path. Karmani. Activities. Cha. Also. Atma Mahima. Glories of the Lord Himself. Upanibandhanani. In relation to. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. When the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the distress of the world, descends with His plenary portion. The Lord comes in His original form with beautiful black hair. And just to expand His transcendental glories, He acts extraordinarily. No one can properly estimate how great He is. Since the purport is a little lengthy, we won't repeat the translation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse is especially describing the appearance of Lord Krishna and His immediate expansion, Lord Baladeva. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baladeva are one supreme personality of Godhead. The Lord is omnipotent, and He expands Himself in innumerable forms and energies, and the whole unit is known as the one supreme Brahman. Such extensions of the Lord are divided into two divisions, namely personal and differential. The personal expansions are called the Vishnu Tattvas, and the differential expansions are called the Jiva Tattvas. And in such expansional activity, Lord Baladeva is the first personal expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Baladeva ki jai. In the Vishnu Purana, as well as in the Mahabharata, both Krishna and Baladeva are mentioned as having beautiful black hair, even in their advanced age. The Lord is called Anupalakshya Margaha, or in still more technical Vedic terms, Avan Manasa Gocharaha, one who is never to be seen or realized by the limited sense perception of the people in general. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 25, it is said by the Lord, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavritaha. In other words, He reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone. Only the bona fide devotees can know Him by His specific symptoms, and out of many, many such symptoms, one symptom is mentioned here in this verse, that the Lord is Sita Krishna Keshaha, or one who is observed always with beautiful black hair. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baladeva have such hair on their heads, and thus, even in advanced age, they appeared like young boys 16 years old. That is a particular symptom of the personality of Godhead. In the Brahma Sangita, it is stated that although He is the oldest personality among all living entities, He always looks like a new youthful boy. That is the characteristic of a spiritual body. The material body is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and diseases. But the spiritual body is conspicuous by the absence of those symptoms. Living entities who reside in the Vaikuntha Lokas, in eternal life and bliss, have the same type of spiritual body without being affected by any signs of old age. It is described in the Bhagavatam, Canto 6, that the party of Vishnu Dutas who came to deliver Ajamil from the clutches of the party of Yamaraj appeared like youthful boys, corroborating the description in this verse. It is ascertained thus that the spiritual bodies in the Vaikuntha Lokas, either of the Lord or of the other inhabitants, are completely distinct from the material bodies of this world. Therefore, when the Lord descends from that world to this world, He descends in His spiritual body of Atmamaya, or internal potency, without any touch of the Bahiranga Maya, or external material energy. The allegation that the impersonal Brahman appears in this material world by accepting a material body is quite absurd. Therefore, the Lord, when He comes here, has not a material body, but a spiritual body. The impersonal Brahmajyoti is only the glaring effulgence of the body of the Lord, and there is no difference in quality between the body of the Lord and the impersonal ray of the Lord called Brahmajyoti. Now, the question is why the Lord, who is omnipotent, comes here to diminish the burden created upon the world by the unscrupulous kingly order. Certainly, the Lord does not need to come here personally for such purposes, but He actually descends to exhibit His transcendental activities in order to encourage His pure devotees who want to enjoy life by chanting the glories of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 13 and 14, it is stated that the Mahatmas, great devotees of the Lord, take pleasure in chanting of the activities of the Lord. All Vedic literatures are meant for turning one's attention towards the Lord and His transcendental activities. Thus, the activities of the Lord in His dealings with worldly people create a subject matter for discussion by His pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshtarine Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpaturubhya sha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanang pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I'm sure most of you are aware of the current state of affairs in the Middle East. The fighting between the state of Israel and their neighbors in the Gaza Strip. So last night it was declared that announced that they've declared a truce, which is certainly welcome. But we have to understand that a truce means stopping the fighting. But is that truce going to last? What do you think? Is it going to last? No. We know from experience, not just between the state of Israel and Gaza, but this whole material world, no truce lasts because the material world is dukalayam ashashvatam. It's a temporary place full of misery. So there may be temporary stoppage, and that temporary stoppage is taken as happiness. Do you think the people in Tel Aviv and in the Gaza Strip are feeling happier today? Yes. But they were in the same condition 2 months ago when there was no fighting happening, and they weren't considering themselves to be happy. They were so unhappy that they started a fight between each other. You see? So the state that they were in 2 months ago wasn't accepted as happiness, right? Because my enemy's across the border, so I'm going to pray to my God to protect His people and help us to kill the other people. You see? That's the mentality. They don't stop to think. They don't stop to think that there is only one God. And He is the God of all people. Not that God is my people and there's a different God over there. And then there's no meaning to that word God. God means, Prabhupada would ask many times, look in your own dictionary. What does it say there? God means the supreme being, the supreme person. So his supremacy is enacted over everyone. Not that he's supreme for this tribe or this bunch of people and not for those people. Then there's no meaning to his supremacy. Supremacy means he's supreme over everyone. There's no one equal to or higher than. Asamar Rupa Shri. We know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Asamar Rupa Shri. Vishmapita Charachara. And therefore he's attractive to both the moving and the non-moving. That's Krishna. From the list of 64 qualities given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there are four qualities that are reserved by Krishna only. Sarvad Bhuta Chamatkara, Leela Kalalavardi. So in that verse it's mentioned, nobody's equal to or greater than Krishna. And therefore he's attractive to everyone, both moving and non-moving. So here it's being pointed out in today's verse by Prabhupada, first of all by Lord Brahma, that Krishna comes to put an end to the rule of these unscrupulous, godless leaders. And the world is full of such unscrupulous, godless leaders still. Totally unqualified persons take over the post of leadership, administrative head, and they simply eat the citizens. That's predicted in the Bhagavatam. They simply eat the citizens. They make the citizens' lives miserable. They don't have enough materially, and at the same time, they're not led properly spiritually. The government takes a huge portion of whatever they have and don't give them anything in return, practically. Can't guarantee their safety. Now, this war is a typical example. The leader of the Israelis, was he on the battlefront? No. The leader of the Palestinians, was he on the battlefront? No. Many people say the actual leader of the Palestinians is the Iranians. Were they on the battlefront? No. So the common people suffer over and over again. The leaders stay at home, and proper to say, eat biscuit and drink tea, and they send the common people out to fight and kill each other. And then they want to take credit. Right now, both sides are taking credit. We were victorious, see? So this foolishness is going on, and that's why Krishna comes. Krishna comes, as it's stated in the 10th canto, Advent of Lord Krishna. Once the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense forces of demoniac kings. And that's what's going on up to today. Demoniac leaders spend vast majority of the taxes that they collect on stockpiling weapons. And what are those weapons used for? Making the people miserable. They shoot them to make their neighbors miserable, and a lot of them sometimes fall back on their own people and kill them. It was reported in the news. A lot of the rockets that were fired, they went up and came back in their own country and killed them, killed their own people. So literally, these unscrupulous, untrained, so-called leaders are making the world miserable. And that's why Krishna comes. He came 5,000 years ago to rid the world of such persons. And as is stated in the purport, he doesn't come alone. He comes to the splendor and expansion chief of whom is Lord Baladeva. And they demonstrated their prowess. They fought Jarasandha and his practically innumerable soldiers 17 times straight. And they had fun doing it. This is mind-blowing for certain people. They can't understand. What kind of God is this? He comes and he chops off the heads of so many human beings and animals, even the elephants and the horses. He and Balaram are just slaughtering everything of the opposing army, filling the field with blood and having a good time. For them, it's pastime. People can't understand this. What kind of God is this? What kind of God would stop a person from achieving pacifism like Arjuna? He didn't want to fight. I don't want to fight. Let them take the kingdom. No, you must fight. I want them dead. Kill them. People can't understand that. What kind of God is this? God is supposed to give life and happiness, not killing. See, they don't understand Krishna. That's why it's so important to hear about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from the right sources. Otherwise, as pointed out in today's purport, unscrupulous people say that the Supreme Brahman takes on a material form, comes into this material world. Prabhupada says no. Our acharyas say no. That's foolishness. Krishna himself says no. Ajopi samvayama avyayatma bhutanam isharopisam prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. When I come in this material world, fourth chapter, Krishna says, when I come to this world, I come in my original form. And he always mentions his original form. It says also in the second chapter that never was there a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. So all of these miscreant leaders, they are misleading people because they don't know themselves what is good for their own existence. They don't know who they are. They have no idea. They have no idea what their real identity is. They misidentify themselves in terms of nationality. But does that mean if the whole world was one nation that people wouldn't fight? No. There's fighting on every level. There are countries where practically everybody looks alike. Let's take North Korea. You think everybody there gets along with everybody else? You think they wouldn't want to get rid of? They do get rid of. Periodically you hear. They kill even their uncle or their brother or whatever. Why? He looks just like you. It's not a question of black or white or brown or yellow. No. Exactly like you. Why are you killing him? Because they don't see eye to eye. You see, I want to promulgate and establish my viewpoint. And if you don't agree with me, I don't care if you're uncle, brother, whatever. So it's not a question of race or even political ideology. It's a question of one person wanting to establish himself over the other. And that was going on when Krishna came 5,000 years ago. Kamsa wanted to be the supreme ruler. And he didn't get it but just by votes. If you read the Garga Samhita, he fought against all the other demons out there and conquered them. Either they submitted or he would kill them. The only person he didn't fight was Jarasandha, because Jarasandha was also very powerful. So he made alliance. Okay, you and I will share them. And to make the alliance stronger, Kamsa married one of Jarasandha's daughters. So now it's, or two, yeah. Now it became really strong, family. But again, family doesn't matter. When it comes down to it, if you don't agree with me, he was willing to kill his own sister, Devaki, because he heard that her eighth child was going to kill him. So this is what's really the problem in the world. It's not a question of political ideology or race or whatever. It is the demoniac mentality that is present constantly, all the time. It's not something new. Dao Bhuta Sarga Lok Hesmin Deva Asura Evacha Vishu Bhakti Bhavet Daiva Asura Yad Vipariya. This is going on since time immemorial. There are two classes of living entities. Dao Bhuta, Sarga Lokesman, anywhere you look in the universe. So this is going on. It's a question of the demonic mentality versus the godly mentality. So Krishna came 5,000 years ago to reestablish real religious principles, to reestablish the proper mentality that we should have, to tell us who we are. He said, you and I, we're unborn. It's not that only God is unborn. We are also unborn. The difference is, God never falls from his position. That brought up, I think the last class I gave, or a couple of classes ago, getting old, I can't remember. I brought up this point about reading comprehension. That we read Prabhupada's books, we read them sometimes over and over again, and things just slide by, we don't catch it. So I am also guilty, I admit it. And today, another one came up. Prabhupada mentions in today's purport, 725. Who knows that verse? Prabhupada said, what's that verse? Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga mayam. Mudo yam nabijanati loko mam ajam avyayam. Now, who knows the translation by heart? I'm sure Brigapati does. Foolish and unintelligent, yes? No, I am covered by my internal post, therefore they don't know me who are. Ajam, unborn, and in the translation it says infallible, but that's not what the verse says. We've read that verse over and over and over and over, but the word avya, vyaya means exhaustible. Avyaya means inexhaustible. And Prabhupada even in the purport mentions inexhaustible, inexhaustible, but somewhere or other in the translation it wound up infallible, which is not correct. The word for fallible is chuta. And infallible is achyuta. Therefore, Krishna is known as achyuta. Not because he never falls down, but because he never falls from his position. We fall from our position. What is our position? Eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Sarapoy, Krishnara Nityadas. We are Krishna's eternal servants. Which is good news. You can't be an eternal servant if you're not eternal. So we should all be happy. Krishna says, you're my eternal servant. That means I'm eternal. Obviously, it's not referring to the body. The body's not eternal. Prabhupada also mentioned in today's purport. It's subject to birth, death, old age, and in this case he said diseases. Not just diseases. So obviously when Krishna says, when Lord Chaitanya says that we're eternal servants of Krishna, he's not referring to the body. He's referring to us, who we really are. So we should be joyful. I am eternal. It's established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is another thing I'm going to have to bring up with our BBT editor, Dravida Prabhu, because this has been in the books for... I went back and looked at other Gitas to see if it was just the recent ones. No, it goes all the way back. I just told you. The Krishna says, Loko mam ajam avyayam. So ajam means unborn, and vyaya means exhaustible. So avyaya means inexhaustible. I'll read you, actually. I lined up. Couple of lines from that purport, because Prabhupada. So here. Huh? Yeah, in the translation, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions inexhaustible over and over again, which is the actual meaning. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of God and Lord Krishna is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. So I don't know where from they got this infallible in the current translation. So I have to talk to Dravid about that. So this is my point about reading comprehension. You have to read and not just read. Think about what you read. We, all of us, are guilty of that. We read, and we don't think about deeply what we read. So Krishna and Balaram came. And so somebody may say, well, if God comes to reestablish religion, to cut down the miscreants, why isn't he here now? Obviously, the world is full of miscreants. So our answer is that he is here. He's here in the form of the holy name. So, and we are supposed to be his foot soldiers in the war against these demoniac personalities. We're supposed to take the holy name, become standard bearers, take the holy name out into the public, and ask everybody to please chant. Either we directly ask them, like when we go out on Harinam, or when we go out on book distribution, we're indirectly asking them. But that's what Prabhupada is asking them in all of his books. Please chant Hare Krishna. So our mission, as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to assist Krishna and Balaram in spreading this holy name to save everyone. Because it's the only means of salvation in this age of Kali. There is no other way. Just Harinam. Harinam. Harinama Eva Kevalam. No other way. You can't do it by political action. You can't do it by sociological change. You can't do it any other way. This is the only way. It's properly said, it's the blacksmith way. The goldsmith takes a little hammer, ting, 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 make a little nice little bracelet like this or something like that. But the blacksmith, wham, one blow, everything's finished. So the Krishna consciousness movement is delivering that blow. Wham, chant Hare Krishna. There is no other way. And that's meant for all levels of society. Nowadays, in the past, you could convince one king and then he would transform his whole kingdom. If a king was not a Vaishnava and some Vaishnava came and made him a Vaishnava, then he changed his whole kingdom into Vaishnavism. Well, that's not possible nowadays. So nowadays, we have to work from the bottom up. We have to go out and convince all the little people out there to chant Hare Krishna, to elect proper leaders, intelligent leaders. Sane leaders. Because they're insane. They're insane. They have no clue who they are. They don't know how to manage, how to rule. And even those who are supposed to give them advice, like we know in Vedic culture, the brahmanas, the intelligent class, are supposed to advise administrators. Not to participate themselves, but to advise them. But that's not the case nowadays. They give wrong advice, and they're simply interested in position and money. And even in a case like in Iran, where the religious leaders become the administrators. In Iran, a country like Iran, it's run by the mullahs, by the ayatollahs. The spiritual leaders have taken over the administrative post. Have things improved? They kicked out the Shah. Okay, fine. You didn't think the Shah was ruling properly. By Vedic standards, you should have put another administrator in position, but you didn't. You took over As the religious leaders, you took over the administration. Are things better in Iran than they were when the Shah was here? Some people would say yes, many would say no. All we know is that when the Shah was in power, we had a center in Tehran. We had a center. A temple, actually. An Iskan temple in Tehran, Iran. Devotees were able to go there. The Shah's family were interested. They would come and participate in programs. So obviously it was much more open. Nowadays, who will be brave enough to do Harinam in Tehran? But there are devotees there. There are devotees there. When I was running the subscription arm of the BTG for a few years, constantly we would get requests, mostly from scholars and universities here. Can you please send us a magazine? We can't pay for a subscription because we're not supposed to do this. But if you send it to the university like that, we can get it. So there are devotees there, and Krishna bless them. There are also devotees in Israel, and there are devotees in the Gaza Strip. We certainly hope they're okay. Devotional service, as presented by Srila Prabhupada in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we should all know, is the only hope for the world. So we have a very grave responsibility. And it's a happy responsibility. We shouldn't, it's not just like, oh, grave responsibility. No, we should be happy. This morning, I mentioned, I was talking about Vainodara, how he's such a happy character. I was telling his wife, he's such a happy guy. He's always laughing and making other devotees. I was in the gift shop a couple of days ago buying some stuff, and you could hear downstairs what the devotees are doing. They're, you know, finishing up the restaurant. And it was nonstop laughter, fueled by Vainodara. Just one joke after another joke. Devotees are working. They're working hard. He works hard. He's a very hard worker, but always happy and laughing. And that's how devotees should be. Whatever your service is, whether it's book distribution or going out on Harinam or deity worship or cooking or whatever you do, you should be happy. And Prabhupada said that. And I'm not just saying that. Prabhupada said, if devotees are morose, there's something wrong and you should find out what's wrong and fix it. Devotee means happy. Spiritual world means happiness constantly. Ever-increasing happiness. So if we're not happy in our positions, if we're not happy in our service, something is wrong and we should fix it. All right, we'll stop here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Maybe you should ask the boss, because they still haven't given me an answer. I don't know what's going on next week.
So how much do you think the
That's a good question.